Now to Brown, puts it up.
GatewaySportsWeb.org is now on your smartphone.
And we're tied at 40.
Hear local high school sports on your phone by going to the App Store and downloading the free WGTV app. WGTD is on your smartphone. For local news and the rest of the mobile version of our website, log on to WGTD.org. For live audio streams of WGTD, 24/7 Jazz HD2, and SportsWeb, visit the App Store and download the free WGTD app. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for a special edition of Education Matters. As a result of the Racine Unified School Board being divided into nine districts for its spring 2016 election, I'm interviewing the three candidates for the District 6 seat, John Heckenlively, Ernest Nia, and Jim Venturini, and the three candidates for the District 7 seat, Don Nielsen, an incumbent, Adrian Moore, and Brian O'Connell. These two districts will have a primary election on Tuesday, February 16th, in which the candidate with the least number of votes will be eliminated. The remaining two candidates will then be voted on in the April 5th general election. The top vote getter for each district in the April 5th election will take a seat on the Racine Unified School Board. The remainder of this program will be divided into two approximately equal time segments. I will first interview the three District 6 candidates, and then I will interview the three District 7 candidates. So welcome John Heckenlively, Ernest Nia, and Jim Venturini to this special edition of Education Matters. Thank you for making yourselves available to sit on the Racine Unified School Board's nine-member school board. So that our listeners then can begin to know you, give us your name, a brief summary of your background in terms of education and work experience, and tell us why you should be elected to represent your district on the Racine Unified School Board. And you each have a minute and a half then for this. And John, we'll start with you.
Okay. John Heckenlively. I think one thing I can stress is that I actually have training as a teacher. I have my master's in history and actually went back to UWM and trained as a social studies teacher. So I actually have, done student teaching, been in the classroom, know exactly what the challenges are, and I'll tell you, it's probably one of the toughest jobs there is out there. I don't think most people could handle it on a day-to-day basis. It's rough. And the other thing is I've been a community activist for a long, long time, been active in a variety of different issues, was one of the founders of the Peace and Justice Coalition, longtime member of the Democratic Party, was actually chair of the Democratic Party for a while, secretary for many, many years. And the other thing is I've been out and meeting with people is I've been knocking on doors, talking to people in the district, and I would expect that if I'm elected that I would be willing to meet with people on a regular basis, because I want to know what the people in the district think so that I can vote the way that, represent the people of the district.
Okay, time. Ernest Nia, then, our second candidate.
Yes, Ernest? I'm Ernest Nia. I'm candidate for the 6th District. I also hold a master's degree, but mine is in religious education, and I spend some time in the classroom as an adjunct instructor at Marygrove College in Detroit, Michigan. But more particularly, I was one of those kids that was labeled special, needed special education, that have 75 IQ, and many people thought that that means a person cannot achieve much. But yet I wind up with a master's degree. The reason? is because I believe that I was blessed to have some teachers who knew how to communicate with me, how to use the methods. And that's my motivation for running for the school board, because I believe every child can learn, regardless of where they're labeled or where they're tested. I believe every child can learn. Like John, I too am interested in all of the citizens in the 6th District, and when I'm elected, I plan to have town hall meetings with our constituencies so that we can have the concerns of all students, not just a certain group of students. I think all students can be scholars if we take the right approach.
Okay, thank you, Ernest. And our third candidate then for District 6, Jim Venturini.
Thank you. My name is Jim Venturini, and I'm born and raised in the city of Racine. Been here for my whole 58 years, as my entire family has as well. I'm happily married to Carmela with two sons, Vince and Gino. Like I said earlier, my entire family has spent their time here in Racine, and we're very, very connected. I feel I'll be a good candidate for the school board because I don't represent or take in consideration any special interests. I look as working with everybody across the board, on the school board, the administration, teachers, parents, students, to try to achieve what's good for the whole. I think that's very important. We have a wonderful city, and I believe that one of the barriers to bringing businesses to our city is our education system. And if we can improve that system and draw more businesses, we'll improve our city. So the core of our problem, I believe, is our school system. And with my business experience, I think that's what'll help. I started my own business when I was 20 years old. Bought two stores, grew it into an 11-store operation. I had 60 employees. I've worked with people during those times to achieve goals, what was good for the whole. And that's what I think is very, very important, and that's what I want to do, and that's what I want to bring to the school board.
Thank you, Jim. Then let's go on to the first question or the next question. There are plans underway to change the high school curriculum next year to focus on career academies to better prepare students for the world of work as well as higher education. As a result, the plan is that Racine Unified's high schools will move to block scheduling next school year with 1.5-hour classes as opposed to 50-minute classes under the current schedule. However, the Racine Education Association and other concerned citizens feel this shift to block scheduling should be delayed a year so that teachers will have more time to prepare their curricula for the extended class periods under block scheduling. What are your thoughts on this issue? How should this issue be handled? Is there middle ground somewhere? And Ernest, we'll start with you.
Yes, I do believe there's middle ground somewhere. I think that both sides should share whether the concerns should be, whether it should be this year or next year. And looking at the facts, looking at some samples of other school districts and what they have done would help us make that decision. So, yes, I do believe that there could be common ground.
Okay, John?
Jim,
I guess, would be next. Jim?
Sorry.
Sure. I do believe that the academies and then the block school scheduling is an important move that we should proceed with. Communication could have been better, but I believe that we're going to take it in increments, and we have to communicate with our teachers, educate our teachers or train our teachers so they know how to implement the new scheduling. But I think ultimately it's going to raise the level of education for our students, which, again, is what we're trying to achieve.
Okay. And then finally on this question, John.
In terms of block scheduling, there have been districts where they've used block scheduling and it's been effective. But in urban districts, and Racine is definitely an urban district, is the evidence is less clear that it's effective. And so I think with the fact that, you know, it's not clear yet as to whether it's the best idea, and the other fact is that with a major curriculum change like this, it's going to take a lot of preparation and a lot of training. I think it's probably best if we hold off a year before we implement it so that, you know, when we implement it, is that all the staff, all the students, and the parents are all going to be up to speed and prepared. prepared for it when the change takes place.
Okay, thank you ever so much. Now on to the next question, and Jim, we'll start out with you on this question. More students are leaving Racine Unified through vouchers to attend private and parochial schools. I recently read in the Racine Journal-Times that 61% of students at St. Catherine's High School in Racine were there on vouchers, and 99% used vouchers to attend an area elementary school. Vouchers are also available statewide to attend some private and parochial schools. In addition to the cost of the state and its taxpayers, there is limited information about how well these students are doing, so parents and taxpayers can make decisions based on solid data. Can Wisconsin afford to support two education systems, and what needs to be done about this?
Well, I think most importantly is that what's driven these teachers and these students to look for alternative education sources. And then again, it goes back to our school system. So as in any business environment, when there is a competition out there, it makes all of us want to improve. And again, that's what our ultimate goal is. Racine Unified School District needs to first and foremost improve the education that we provide for our students. I do believe that parents and students should have a choice of where they want to go to school and the education that they want to get out of it. I think it should be documented better so we can see what the results are going forward. I think there's room for improvement there. But again, first and foremost, let's improve our school system, our public school system, so we can keep them in that system to get the better education.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Next, then, I guess, is John.
Yeah, well, I'm familiar with the whole voucher fight because this has been going on since I was at UWM back in the early 80s, and Milwaukee's was kind of the laboratory for the whole voucher issue, and it's only expanded to Racine in the last few years. And I really think that the whole voucher issue is part of the war on education that we've seen taking place with, you know, conservative forces who are determined to destroy public education in the United States. And vouchers are a way to siphon off money from public education systems as an effort to weaken public education systems so they can point to schools and say, see, the public schools are failing. And so I think in terms of choice, yeah, if you want to send your kids to a private school, sure, you have that right. But you should pay for it yourself. Is taxpayers should not be subsidizing the private choices of parents who want to opt their kids out of the public education system.
Okay. Thank you, John, on that. Ernest?
I believe that this is something that's going on all over the country. This is not just Milwaukee. And I think that John is right. It is a movement to move people out of the public school system. One of the things that I'm concerned with, and you had it in your question, and that was, are we looking at them over the same scale? Are we measuring them properly the same way? Voucher schools are not measured the same way public schools are. That's why I have a concern. I don't have a concern about someone moving their kids to a private school with a voucher, provided that it's the same. It's academically scores. I don't want it to be a part of a conspiracy to eliminate public school. And I think John is right in that particular respect, and I will agree with him.
Okay, I guess that takes care of that question. I think we've covered our bases there. Let's move on to the next question, and let's see, where do we start? Okay, John Heckenlively. Okay. There have been efforts on the part of some residents of Caledonia and Sturtevant to withdraw from Racine Unified and form their own district. How do you respond to that effort, and what should be done?
Well, I mean, I think lately we've seen this. There was a lot of enthusiasm at first, and I think they backed off because they started to look at what the actual costs would be in doing it. And the problem is you have to rebuild the wheel. You have to build new schools. You have to hire an entirely new staff. There's a lot of infrastructure that goes along in terms of administration. And So when they figure, you know, when they're looking at this and looking, oh my gosh, this is actually going to cost us way, way more than it would save. So I think that ultimately we probably aren't going to see it happen. I mean, I know some of the reasons that folks in Sturtevant and Mount Pleasant and Caledonia don't like the city of Racine, but is ultimately just from the standpoint of this is going to cost us way too much money, is I think they're probably going to think twice about it.
Okay, thank you, John Hacken-Lively. Ernest Nile.
I believe the problems probably went away. I mean, if you look at the state mandate of districting everything, now we have 9 districts. 2 of those districts are pretty much exclusive. I think it's District 1. It's pretty much Mount Pleasant, and I think District 9 is predominantly Caledonia. So I don't think that we have an issue now. And I think that once they have the representation, they can see the representation, and we come together as a unit, I believe the problem will dissipate.
Okay. And then Jim Venturini.
I guess I'm going to take a little different approach at it, is that it may go away, and it may be too expensive for them to do it. But the question is, why do they want to do it? And I think if they did succeed in doing it, it would be detrimental to Racine Unified School District. So, again, it goes back to why do they want to do it. I don't believe they dislike Racine. I believe they are looking for a better alternative of education. So, again, we have to work together to make this school system the best it can possibly be. So people want to send their children to it. So kids graduate with career-ready or college-ready situations. And every child has that opportunity to go on to college or start a career once they graduate from our high schools. So again, by improving Racine Unified School District, hopefully we can eliminate the desire to break away.
Okay, thank you. And now here's one quick, maybe 30-second question for each of you, and I guess then we start with John? No, Ernest, okay. Thinking in terms of the current school board members, which member do you see yourself most like in terms of philosophy and approach to responding to the issues currently facing Racine Unified? And tell our listeners why you've chosen that person.
None.
Go ahead.
None. I believe I'm an independent thinker, and I like to think, if I can use the term win-win situation. I think you put everything on the table, you look at all the facts, and you make a decision that's best for our children, it's best for our teachers. I think those are the two most important elements in our school system, the teachers, the students.
Okay, Jim?
Well, I think I'll agree with Ernest a little bit there, is that in the fact that I don't want to necessarily identify with any one person. I also don't want to separate myself from any one person. I want to work with everybody across the board to, again, come to a common goal of improving our school system. And most importantly, I'm going to say this is for the children. I understand the teachers are important. They're very important. But the teachers, most importantly, we have to make sure these kids are educated and we have a wonderful working environment for the teachers to work in and for the kids to learn in. So I want to work across the board with everybody to make this a better school system.
Okay. And then I think we can squeeze in another 30 seconds. Go ahead. I'm sorry,
yeah.
John.
Suppose I should say Julie McKenna, since I've known her for 25 years. And actually, I've always respected her. I think that she's been one of the best members of the board we've ever had. I also respect both Dennis Weiser and Mike Frontier a lot. They're veteran educators, and I think they bring a lot to the table.
Okay. Then let's squeeze in just another 30-second question each here. One of my concerns about shifting to block scheduling is that high school teachers will teach one more class, meaning 25 more students to instruct, evaluate, grade, each semester, and then as a result, some who are currently involved in enrichment extracurricular things are dropping those activities because they see that that's just simply more than they can handle. And so this reduces the enrichment experiences students can have. What can or should be done to save these important learning activities when we go to block scheduling? And let's see, where do we start, Jim?
Well, you're absolutely right. Those are very important aspects of a child's education. You know, it's not only the what they're going to learn in the classroom, but what they like to do, what they're where they're, they feel their career might take them. So through discussions, and again, you know, we're all trying to get onto the school board through discussions. I think we can find ways of what is good for the whole, and I think that's ultimately the reason I want to be on a school board is to discuss and find out ways that what's good for the whole.
Okay, John.
It might be possible in some ways, and you have to do this through bargaining, but maybe set it up so that if you counted some sort of an extracurricular thing as towards class time, is say, so that instead of a class period, it's that you would be doing that particular, and it would count towards your hours. I mean, maybe bargain it that way.
Okay, Ernest?
Jim sort of hit the point, is that we got to research this thing. We have to look at other school districts, see what the successful rate is in other school districts. I think our students need to be well-rounded, and we need to do it in the most effective way.
Okay, on that note, then, we will end our discussion here with the candidates then for District 6, John Heckenlively, Ernest Nya, and Jim Venturini. We thank you so much for that.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. At this time, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Wayne Olson, and you're listening to a special edition of Education Matters, in which I have just interviewed the three candidates for the District 6 seat, John Heckenlively, Ernest Nya, and Jim Venturini in the February 16th primary election. We now move on to the three districts number 7 candidates. So, first of all, welcome Don Nielsen and incumbent Adrian Moore and Brian O'Connell to this special edition of Education Matters. Thank you for making yourselves available to sit on the Racine Unified's 9-member school board. And so that our listeners will begin to know you, give us your name, a brief summary of your background in terms of education and work experience, and tell us why you should be elected to represent your district on the Racine Unified School Board. So, and we'll start with you, Adrian.
Thank you. My name is Adrian Moore. I am a graduate of J.I. Case High School. I am now the head of the Public Defender's Office in the Racine and Kenosha Trial Offices. I have been working there for 20 years at this point, so I have 20 years of public service. And the reason why I believe I should be elected is there is not a lot of representation on a school board for African-American females. I am an African-American female. I went to the Racine Unified School District when it was touted as one of the premier school districts in the country. And I believe that with my assistance, it can become that again. Thank you.
Okay, and Don Nielsen, you're next, then.
Good afternoon, or good morning. My name is Don Nielsen. I'm a lifelong resident of Racine, and I graduated from Park High School. I went to college and came back to Racine and worked in the school district for 30 years as a counselor at the academy and the MAC Center. I've been on the school board for the last 10 years, and I would like to continue for one more year to see through some of the transitions that we're making and especially look at the referendum and try to lay out a 10-year plan for the future. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Okay, thank you, Don. And our final candidate then, Brian O'Connell.
Thanks, Dwayne. I'm Brian O'Connell. I was City Development Director for the City of Racine for 13-plus years. Before that, I was with the City of Milwaukee. And I'm running because in my work as City Development Director, all the questions, many of the questions we would field were, how are the schools when we try to attract business and jobs to the area? Schools play a tremendous role in a decision about workplace and the growth of the Racine economy. That's what brought me into the race. My own education, I have a master's from UW-Milwaukee. My bachelor's is from Marquette. And I have, in my 40 years of planning and development experience, background in capital budgeting, other tools that I think will make me a good board member on the Unified Board. My wife and I raised 3 children, now adults. all attended public schools. Two of them graduated from high schools in Milwaukee. My youngest graduated from Horlick High School here in Racine. I think that shows my dedication to public education. I really have a strong belief that it can be a fantastic way for a child to learn and to get a good education. I think I'm involved in this election now is because of all of the scrutiny the district is under. I think it's a critical moment for the district, and I think I have something I can contribute at this time.
Okay, thank you, all three of you, then, for your opening statements. We'll move on to the next question, then, and Don, we will start with you. There are plans underway to change the high school curriculum next year to focus on career academies to better prepare students for the world of work as well as higher education. As a result, the plan is that Racine's high schools will move to block scheduling next school year with 1.5-hour classes as opposed to 45, 50-minute classes under the current schedule. However, the Racine Education Association and other concerned citizens feel this shift to block scheduling should be delayed a year so that teachers will have more time to prepare their curricula for the extended class periods under block scheduling. What are your thoughts on this issue? How should this issue be handled? Is there middle ground somewhere on this issue?
This has been a topic that's come up at several board meetings, and I expressed the same concerns to the superintendent about being able to prepare quickly enough for the next school year. If we were doing just block scheduling or just the vocational academies by themselves, that would be one thing, but we are also implementing another level of PBIS, restorative justice. We're looking at changing how we place special ed students into the classroom. We are having a second year of a new teacher evaluation program and a number of other professional development requirements. So at this point, I think we would be best to postpone it for a year and take the time and do it right.
Okay, and Adrian Moore then? Or Brian, or let's see, Adrian, next.
Okay. I have heard about block scheduling. I've been to a number of the meetings at the school board where they have referenced block scheduling. I will say that I have not had a lot of time to do a lot of research on block scheduling. What I would like to do is I would like to talk to students who actually have undergone block scheduling to see what impact it had on their education, if any. Did they feel like they were more prepared to go into undergraduate studies because of block scheduling? However, if anything is implemented, you need to have enough training in order to implement it. I do understand the teachers' concerns about implementing something when they feel like they haven't received enough adequate training for it. I would hope that the district would implement enough training for the teachers to provide block scheduling for the students. If they feel like they cannot implement enough training this year, then I do think that it should be put off until the training can be implemented and the teachers can be comfortable going forward with block scheduling.
Okay, thank you, Adrian Moore. And Brian, you really should have been next after Don, but I'll correct that, I guess, the next round here. So go ahead, Brian.
No problem. I really believe in the academies of Racine. I think it's an initiative that should be pursued and should be pursued aggressively. As I mentioned, the board is under intense scrutiny to show improvement and to improve the reputation of the district. The challenge is not so much the concept. I don't hear much objection to the concept. It's the implementation. Are the teachers ready? And we are asking the teachers to do a lot. Our experienced teachers are a real asset, but we're asking them to take their lesson plans and adjust them now that they have 50% more time in a classroom period. If it means working with them over the summer, if it means providing additional training, if it means providing compensation for them for outside regular hours, we should do that. We should implement in the fall.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Then let's move on to the next question, which builds on this previous question, and we'll start with you, Brian, again. One of my concerns about the shift to block scheduling is that high school teachers will teach one more class, meaning at least 25 more students to instruct, evaluate, grade, and so forth, each semester. As a result, some teachers who are currently involved in enrichment extracurricular activities for students are dropping those activities and thus reducing the enrichment experience its students can have. What can or should be done to save these important learning activities for our students? Brian?
Again, I think this is where the need for the implementation to be as aggressively planned as the initial concept of the program. And that so far isn't in evidence. We don't see that implementation program. I am very reluctant to say we can postpone this a year, but I think the burden falls on the administration to show how they are implementing this on the time frame that they've recommended.
Okay, and Adrian Moore then on this question?
Well, I have to say I agree with Brian on this issue. I think that you definitely need to figure out how this can be implemented without taking away from these other activities that students are involved in. You know, certainly these activities are extremely important. So the district at this point has not indicated how it's going to implement it without, you know, taking away from these activities. So because of that, I think that the district is going to be incumbent upon the district to explain how students are still going to receive these other activities as well as block scheduling. If they can explain that, then absolutely I would be in favor of it. If they cannot explain it and it's not going to happen, then I don't know that I could sign off on it, because we have to be able to also provide these other activities for our students.
Okay, thank you. And then Don Nielsen, finally, on this question.
The reduction of other activities has been discussed at some of the board meetings, and we've been assured that the block scheduling will not impact that. However, there's not been a detailed explanation as to how it will be maintained as well. One thing that I am concerned about is when you add one class to every teacher, there is automatically going to be a opportunity to do one of two things: either save a significant amount of money in your budget by reducing staff, or add different staff, or a combination of the two. And at this point, we have not been told clearly how that money is going to be used. We have been told that they will not reduce staff, but with the budget pressures that are upon us, I'm not sure if that will hold true.
Okay. Thank all three of you then for your answers to this question dealing with the idea of block scheduling and enrichment activities related to that. Now the next question, I guess, Adrian, then we start with you.
Okay.
More students are leaving Racine Unified through vouchers to attend private and parochial schools. I recently read in the Racine Journal Times that 61% of students at St. Catherine's High School in Racine were there on vouchers, and 99% used vouchers to attend an area elementary school. Vouchers are also available statewide to attend some private and parochial schools. In addition to the cost to the state and its taxpayers, there is limited information about how well these students are doing, so parents and taxpayers can make decisions based on solid data. Can Wisconsin afford to support two education systems? So what needs to be done about this issue? Ms. Moore.
Well, my position on this issue is strictly based on a cost-benefits analysis. The fact of the matter is, if there is no data that indicates that students are doing much better at these other schools than they would be doing in Racine Unified, then I don't think as a taxpayer we can afford to pay for the students to go to the parochial schools or these other schools. I think that certainly understand a parent's desire to want to choose what they feel is the best school for their child, but quite frankly, if you want your child to go to a private school, then you have to be prepared to pay for your child to go to the private school. So I think that on this issue, I would have to say that I think that tax dollars, state dollars, county dollars, should go towards the student that is going to the public school system if that's what it's allotted for.
Okay, thank you. Don Nielsen?
Vouchers is an issue that's come up repeatedly. my position is that if we're going to have voucher schools, they should be forced to have the same rules as the public schools do. In other words, they have to accept anybody that applies, provide special education services, and not be able to remove students from their schools once they have gotten their allotment of money and then send them back to the public schools. The legislature yesterday, I believe, I'm waiting to hear, but I believe they passed additional legislation which would have the result of the Racine Unified School District losing $2.35 million in funding. This is funding that we have to find in other places, and it becomes more and more of a challenge to keep removing from an ever-shrinking pot to pay for the vouchers.
Okay, thank you ever so much. And then finally, Brian O'Neill on this, or O'Connell on this question.
I think the experience with the Milwaukee Public Schools and the experience with Racine Public Schools, where these programs have been in effect for a while, is that we are not seeing as much children leaving the Racine schools as never coming in, selecting parochial schools with vouchers. And again, it appears that the legislature is in favor of a voucher program. My position would be, and what I think the board should lobby for, is if it is going to be a state program, have the state run it, have the state fund it. Don't entangle it with the local district. That way, some of the cross-subsidies that are coming out of the local tax base through Unified could be eliminated, and the Unified levy be dedicated to Unified students.
Okay. Thanks to all three of you on this question, and on to the next question. Don, I believe we'll start with you on this one. Recently, there have been efforts on the part of some residents of Caledonia and Sturtevant to withdraw from the Racine Unified School District and form their own school district. How do you respond to that effort? Don Nielsen?
I've been on the board for 10 years, and early in my tenure, a similar effort was started. At that time, I told Brian Day that if he brought me a petition with the required number of signatures from people of Caledonia wanting to withdraw, I would personally put it forward on the board agenda. I am still waiting for such a petition to come before me. The total number of signatures after 3 years had not yet reached half of the required number. So I don't oppose people having a choice if they want to have it, but I do feel that the process needs to be followed.
Okay, Brian O'Connell.
I strongly oppose the splitting off of the suburban communities from Racine Unified. Working in the field of economic development, the area, Greater Racine, is a better place, a stronger place, with a unified approach to our issues. This harkens back to the days when the communities fought over sewer service, fought over water service, and a divided and divisive area is not a good marketplace for new businesses and new jobs. I hope the communities, the suburban communities, will see that. I think they are kidding themselves if they believe that splitting off gives them an economic advantage. It does not.
Okay, and finally, Adrian Moore on this question.
Well, I believe that Racine Unified will thrive if the community is behind it. And that includes, of course, the communities of Mount Pleasant, Caledonia, and Sturtevant. I don't know enough about why they would want to cut off from Racine Unified, but I believe that the redistricting was put in place so that those communities would have a say-so on the board. So we now have all these districts in Racine Unified where people will be able to vote for who they believe is appropriate to represent their district. And so the districts of Mount Pleasant, Sturtevant, and Caledonia will be represented on the board. So I'm hoping that those communities feel like they would be represented and don't believe there's a need to cut off from Racine Unified at this point. As I indicated, we as a community have to come together and we have to make our district strong. It is true. If our district is not strong, then businesses will not want to come here. Families will not want to come here and raise their children. and our school district will die. So it's necessary for us all to be on the same page.
Okay. Thank you so much, all three of you, then, for your responses to this question. And our next question, then, is, thinking in terms of the current school board members, which member do you see yourself most like in terms of philosophy and approach to responding to the issues facing Racine Unified? And tell our listeners why you've chosen that person. And, Don, I guess we start with you. Is it Don? Okay, go ahead.
That's a tough one. I sit next to Julian McKenna, and I think Julian and I see many things very similarly. We both come from a background where we value special education and the needs of special needs children. And we also value the theory and the philosophy of collaboration. And we have both voted along those lines. And I would say that if I were to put myself along someone, I think Julie and I would probably be fairly similar.
Okay. Adrian Moore.
You know, I can't answer that question because there are no representatives on there that are African-American women. I see myself as a very independent thinker. So I can't say that there is anyone on the board that I feel like I most like. I certainly see a lot of issues that I think that Mr. Nielsen, for example, I think that he and I would align a lot on a lot of those issues, but I also see some issues that I might align with Kim Plotkin on. So I can't really pick just one person that I think that I most like on the board.
Okay, thank you, Adrian. And finally, Brian O'Connell.
When I was looking at the board and trying to imagine how I would fit if I was serving on the board, and of course there was 4-4 splits in recent days, I had to say I would be a swing vote because I wouldn't be agreeing with either faction on the points that were being debated. Nevertheless, there are people on the board I admire. I admire Dennis Weiser. I think Dennis is a very intelligent person, and I admire Mike Frontier. I think both of them devote a lot of time to the work of being a board member. I would expect to do the same.
Okay. To our radio audience, this is your host, Wayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today for this special edition of Education Matters, in which I interviewed the three candidates for the District 6 seat on the Racine Unified School Board, John Heckenlively, Ernest Nya, and Jim Venturini, and the three candidates for the District 7 seat on the Racine Unified School Board, Don Nielsen, an incumbent, Adrian Moore, and Brian O'Connell. These two districts will have a primary election on Tuesday, February 16th, in which the candidate with the least number of votes will be eliminated. The remaining two candidates will then be voted on in the April 5th general election. The top voter-getter for each district in the April 5th election will take a seat on the Racine Unified School Board. To the candidates, I wish you the very best in your campaigns. Finally, tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for another edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Wayne Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Now to Brown, puts it up.
GatewaySportsWeb.org is now on your smartphone.
And we're tied at 40.
Hear local high school sports on your phone by going to the App Store and downloading the free WGTD app.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Kenosha Lions Foundation is accepting applications for their 2016 Grants Award Program. Nonprofit groups may request an application by writing to the Kenosha Lions Foundation, P.O. Box 645, Kenosha, Wisconsin, 53141.
Support comes from Kenosha Winter Harbor Market, featuring organic eating well, fresh, delicious, and nutritious food options, gluten-free, dairy-free, and vegan, veggie burgers, snacks, desserts, and more. The market is open Saturdays from 9 to 1 at the Rodie. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction